Welcome to Cultivating Success, created for students and young docs to help them be as successful as quickly as possible. I'm Dr. Allison Bremner, and I'm super passionate about helping associates find the perfect position and making sure that they succeed. And because I'm so passionate about that, I've created two classes. One class is for students to figure out what makes them happy and how to find a good associate position. And the second class is for docs, for those of you who want to hire an associate to make the perfect environment for them. So check that out. Today, we have Dr. Johnny Reuter from a legendary chiropractic podcast. He also has ChiroPair, which is a matchmaking service for students to find good associate positions. He is starting his Chiro startup school. So this conversation is really great. So awesome. Stay tuned. You're going to learn a lot. All right, here we go. Welcome, Doc.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. So tell us, you know, when did you graduate and when did you sort of start thinking about the business side of chiropractic?
Absolutely. So I graduated chiropractic school from Life University in 2020. It was right after the pandemic had hit, and we were actually the first class to not have a graduation for about 2 years. So that was a lot of fun. It was an interesting time, right? And it kind of shook the worlds of a lot of people, and students coming out of chiropractic school is a heck of a journey to begin with. And then you throw something like that on top of it that's never been seen or handled before. And it just adds to that chaos, right? But business-wise, I started learning really heavily about business about halfway through chiropractic school when I started my podcast. And I really wanted to understand and recognize that at the end of the day, in order to get patients and people to do the thing that I was going to school and paying thousands upon thousands of dollars to learn, at the end of the day, I needed people laying face down on tables. And if I don't have that, right, and they are not compensating me for those services I am providing, how am I supposed to make a living for not only myself, not only my team and staff, but also for my family, right? And so that was really important to me, but I didn't recognize it until I started having conversations with other chiropractors, right? And a lot of chiropractors would always bring up the topic of business and business success. And why do we think it's such a prevalent topic in chiropractic? It's because nobody has had it mastered yet. And nobody has figured out or broken the code or, you know, invented the wheel essentially to chiropractic business. And, you know, that's what makes it not only hard internally for chiropractors, and this is kind of a different conversation, but it's also what makes it really hard for people of the public to walk into your office and know what they're in for and know what they're going to get, right? Yeah. And so early on, I recognized that I needed to learn how to be a business person and a business-minded person, but I also recognized my path, right? And I think that's important. And you and I touched on this before we came on audio here. And the idea is like, we recognize what is in front of us, but we also oftentimes don't question what's in front of us, right? We all hear everyone in our classes and on, you know, podcasts, and they're like, open your practice, you'll be a $1 million practice, this, that, and the other thing. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, that's what I have to do. Mm-hmm. I just got to open my practice. I got to go and graduate school and go find a cool place to open my practice and just do it, right? That's just like who I am and what I do, right? And it's like, you don't step back for a minute and be like, am I a business owner, right? Like, no, you don't really question that. And you're just like forced out this chiropractic funnel or shoot. And you're like this little, like, you know, weebly wobbly person in chiropractic that's like, now you got to go start a business. You got to get an LLC. You got to start a practice and start getting patients in. And we can have that conversation later, but you never step back and question like, is that the path for me? Right. And so when I started digging into business, it was like, okay, well, wake up call, John, you don't know everything. And when you don't know everything, you start to figure out, okay, what are the alternatives to figuring those things that you don't know out? And for me, personally, that looked like taking on an associateship after graduation, immediately after graduation, learning from someone who was already where I wanted to be and having an exit strategy in mind, not only from school and knowing my exit strategy from school and what I was going to do next, but also having my exit strategy from my associateship and understanding what I wanted to do next. And so for me, that was coming into my own practice, right? But I needed that leapfrog step. I needed that milestone or touch point in order to accelerate my journey. And my learning curve went from zero to 100 when I actually got in front of patients on someone else's dime versus having to provide food for my family on my own dime and what I was bringing in, right? And that was really important to me. So that's really where my business journey in chiropractic sense really came from and started from.
Yeah, well, I think that you touched on a couple of things. So what's interesting is you like business, yet you still realize you need to be an associate, which I think is actually what happens. A lot of students who don't like business, they're the ones that open up right out of school and don't know what the heck they're doing. Yep. So even with a mindset like yours, who understood that you need to, one, figure out how to get people in the door and charge them money, because the reality is chiropractic doesn't have a passion problem. Like, you know, a lot of the people go up on stage and like, we just need to be more passionate. We have a marketing problem. Like, mm-hmm. that is the problem. And chiropractors are passionate as hell, man. Like, we're good on that. So I think it's great that you realize that for yourself. And that's why I really want to have you on today, because even someone like yourself, who was a rock star out of school, still understood that associate position, the right associate position, was the right move for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about how did you figure out where you wanted to be an associate, and what was that process like?
Yeah, this is a great question. I posted on Facebook after I went through that journey that I just told you about of like realizing and recognizing like, hey man, you don't know everything and you're in for a steep learning curve if you don't get this stuff figured out. And when I say steep learning curve, I really mean like a brick wall, which oftentimes a lot of students leaving chiropractic school, starting a practice right away, oftentimes hit, right? And I mean, I think I don't know the exact statistics, so I won't like, don't quote me on this, but I think it's like over 50% of chiropractors fail in the first 2 years of opening up a practice.
That's right? Probably
insane statistic. And if it's not that exactly, it's probably darn close to it.
Probably worse.
And so when you start reading into this and you start digging into this and you start asking questions to people that you're surrounding yourself with that have been in uncharted waters before you, right? They've swam through that part of the ocean already. They're on the other side, right? So it's like for you to look at them, I'd rather not swim. I'd rather just get in a helicopter and jump over and land where they're at, right? And that's what I refer to as like leapfrogging knowledge, right? And this like jumping the knowledge gap. That's the metaphor I use, is like, I'd rather not get eaten by sharks and, or swallowed by a whale while paddleboarding, when I could just get in a helicopter and go to the other side. Right. So that's what we're talking about in regards to business as a chiropractor. And so what really, you know, made me recognize this and how I got my associateship was once I recognized that pattern in that journey, I said, okay, where do I find an associateship? Because at the time in 2019, this was, right, you know, there really isn't a good place to find a chiropractic associate, right? And I'm not going to sit here and plug my stuff, but there's not a good place, right? And a lot of people are trying to solve that problem, right? And so there are resources out there now, but there hadn't been at the time. So I said, okay, I'm in a lot of chiropractic Facebook groups. I know a lot of people who probably know someone who's looking to hire a doc, right? Not realizing at the time how prevalent needing an associate was. I threw a Facebook post out there on my personal page and I was like, you know, who's looking for an associateship and, you know, an associate in the Chicagoland area. That's what it said. I think I still have the post to this day. It has like 40 or 50 comments on it. And because people are just hungry for associates. And I, you know, after I did that, I weeded through it and I was like, okay, you know, what's going on? And then I had someone connect me with a mutual friend and I was like, wow, this sounds really cool. So we hopped on the phone and chatted, whatever, the rest is history. But yeah, I really went and searched and seeked it out myself, which I also think that is a problem in chiropractic as a profession from a business side of things, right? The employer oftentimes is doing the hunting. Right. If you go to any, and I'm not blaming candidates, I'm not blaming people like myself coming out of school because you're deer in headlights. Right. But if we start to make associateships more common and more of the norm, I think we're going to see a turn in this in the next 2 to 5 years, right? And what that conversation looks like is exactly this. Graduate, and before you graduate, you are all over Indeed, ZipRecruiter, LinkedIn, Facebook, even Instagram nowadays, maybe TikTok, not so much right now for recruiting, but like you're all over those platforms before you graduate. I can guarantee you, I was in a class, I was in one of the biggest classes of Life University, and there were over 200 people in my class, right? And I guarantee you 85 to 90% of those people were not, even if they were going into an associateship, they were not actively pursuing a job, right? And if you go to corporate America, if you look at our predecessors in regards to success in business, right? And I put that kind of in quotes because it's like corporate America is not perfect, but like there are people hungry for jobs and positions, and you have people consistently applying to jobs. Like if you need an exec filled or you need an office manager, like things like that in corporate America, it's going to get filled and you're going to have 200 plus candidates apply to that job, right? In chiropractic, it's the exact opposite. You have 200 employers looking for candidates and the candidates are just, it's crickets, right? And so it makes it really difficult in the chiropractic profession to like go out and find these candidates. And so that's more from the employer side, but just kind of going down that tangent a little bit, because I do think that if you're a candidate listening to this, you're a future associate listening to this, you have control. You have way more control than you think you do. One, you have control to want a job instead of a practice. And two, you have control in the interview process, which is, and you have leverage of your value, but we can talk about that at a later date. But you can do more hunting and seeking out as a candidate that we're not currently doing right now. And that's exactly what I did to answer your question in order to get the position that I got.
Yeah, you know, and we talked about before we got on this audio here. Yeah, you know, I played high level sports. And when you play high level sports, especially like for me, I played basketball. That's the highest level of women play. I would say for men, it's football than basketball. But my point is coaches start to recruit you when you're a sophomore in college. You didn't graduate and they're like, hey, want to play for us? Like that just didn't happen. And the thing is that you have to understand that the reason that associateships fail is because there's no relationship. It's just, hey, I saw an ad. I need a job. You need a person to fill it. And they come in. There's no relationship built. So you have no idea if you're going to like this doc, if you're going to flow with this. And probably you never thought about it. You're just like, I need a job. But in order for this job to do well, at least if you want to stay for a couple of years, which you should, in my opinion, at least 3 years, maybe two if you're super, super dynamic, but you need that time to develop. And like what you said, on someone else's dime. And the thing is, I think that COVID really did a favor to chiropractic, because I would, for years, these chiropractors get on stage and like, I don't do online marketing. And I'm like, dude, there's going to come a day where you just can't go and do like these corporate talks or spinal screenings or these things that like chiropractors in the 80s built their practices on. And so just wipe that out. And, you know, with that, then I think that the students probably got scared. They're like, ooh, crap, maybe I don't want to start a practice, which I think is a benefit, because I do think I am seeing that more and more students, and I'm hoping this is the trend, kind of like what you said, the next couple of years, that they think that an associateship is a smart position, because it is the smart decision to make. And, you know, it should be the other way around. There should be more people applying for a job, a good position, than there are job openings. And so that, again, that's on the docs to provide that. So, I mean, that's one of the things I talk about, and I have a whole class on how to make sure you provide a good place for your associate. But yeah, man, it's interesting. Have you checked in, like, on, not like just kind of from afar checked in on where the heck your classmates are right now? How many of them are kind of struggling?
I mean, from afar, I keep pretty good tabs on, I got a group of core friends that I graduated with and went through chiropractic school with, and they're all doing great. One is like kind of an IC position, but they do like AK, CK technique, and it's just like super intense stuff. But he's in a great practice doing some IC stuff. And the other one is an associate actually been there a couple of years looking for, you know, something different, something new now, but loves the associate model because he doesn't have to own anything. He doesn't have to worry about the risk. He doesn't have to worry about the business side of things. He doesn't have to worry if there's a paycheck coming to him, right? And then there's another one who's also associate and has been an associate since he graduated, has dabbled in the idea of like, maybe I want to open my own, but at the time of recording this, he hasn't jumped ship and he's sticking on with the associateship. And the doc that he's working for is, I mean, they're crushing it and he's treated well. And at the end of the day, you know, if you can provide for yourself as an associate and you can even, you know, lavishly live if you wanted to, that's what matters, right? But you have to, you know, again, this can be a different podcast, but you have to be smart with your negotiation tactics and, you know, capitalizing on your value that you're bringing, because your value, unfortunately, your degree in chiropractic is about worth as much as you are in student debt, right? Like when you first graduate from chiropractic school, your degree is worth about negative $200,000, right? And so all that got you to do is pass boards and get a license and get qualifications that allow you to do the thing that can grant you access to an amazing, abundant life, but you don't know your elbow from your knee, right? And that's just the truth. So yeah, I follow them quite close. We text every week, but others like that are more distant. Some started practices, some went into associateships, some aren't even in chiropractic anymore.
What do you think the percentage of that is? I'm just kind of curious of like your 200 class that aren't.
Yeah, class of 200. I mean, I don't follow all 200 of those people closely. So what I do see, I can probably think of like three or four off the top of my head that aren't even remotely in chiropractic anymore. And they have, unless mom and dad or they financially paid their way through chiropractic school, they're sitting on a lump sum of 200 plus in student loans. So,
yeah, I've tried to think about like the mindset, like, why do you think that students have been really adverse to being an associate? I have a couple thoughts on it. My first thought is that chiropractors really get their ego bruised very easily. And so I think that they'd rather say, I own my own practice and, you know, can't pay the bills, then say I'm an associate and do well. Like, they'd rather be cool and poor than, like, you know, be different and rich. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it goes both ways, right? I'm a big fan, because I was an associate. I'm a big fan of protecting associates, right? In regards to like, you need to negotiate for what you want. Until you sign the dotted line and that employer wants you, there's leverage there, right? And you need to recognize that, but most of us don't, right? So I've talked to docs who are doing like low numbers. I mean, like not even livable, like under poverty level, like 30, 40s, you know, 40K a year. And then it's like this dangling carrot in front of them of like, hey, the bonuses could get you over 100K. And they've never once hit it, right?
Call that chiro math. It's not real.
It's awful. It's awful, right? But I think so. I'm quick to blame employers, right? And I'll admit that bias before we kind of dive into this a little bit. However, I do think it goes. I just went on a whole tangent about how I think the candidate and the associate can do more from their perspective, right? And actually apply to jobs and actually put themselves out there and actually ask for what they want and do those things that we see in all other businesses, right? But from the employer side of things, like, I really do, like, I agree with you 100% on the ego. Like, of course, we all get our egos bruised, but also it's what we're told to do, right? Like, it's what that person did. It's what this person did. It's what that person did. And I might as well just jump on the train because that's what everyone else is doing, right? Like I said at the beginning of this, like, I kind of made a joke of it, but it's like, you know, I just, you know, I'm this kind of like flopping around, you know, person in chiropractic in a sense. And it's like, no one's telling you which way to go. You're just on kind of a conveyor belt. And then you're like, oh, I'm in, you know, I don't know. First thing that popped in my head was like Key West, Florida, right? It was like, oh, I'm in Key West. I like Key West, Florida. Let's open a practice. It's like, This is how I did it, right? It's like, whoa, that doesn't make any sense. Like, it doesn't make any freaking sense. And I'm not telling you to be the Whole Foods or the McDonald's who's like doing insane demographic reports, but like, first of all, our locations are crazy. And second of all, like the way that you go about figuring out that you're going to just go into practice is you're essentially following what everyone else has done before you, right? And so I don't think there's a lot of thought that goes into it. If I'm being honest with you, I don't think, and that's, I think that's part of our conversation today is like, make the thought be there. Yeah. It's like, put the thought in your mind to actually do the thing and the research to like, figure out who you are, right? Like, who are you? Are you an entrepreneur? Are you a business owner? Did you have a lawn mowing business cutting lawns for $20 a lawn when you were 8 years old? If that was you, you probably should start a practice. But that was me, and I still didn't start a practice right away. I went to an associateship, right? And so if you didn't do that, though, and you're like, I hate money, I hate these things, I hate, you know, new patients, whatever it is you're saying, right? Like, if you're like, I hate this laundry list of business items, there's so many opportunities out there. You could literally go anywhere in the world, in the world. I have matched people in Ireland before. I've matched people in Germany before. You can go anywhere in the world with chiropractic, and that is so freaking cool that you can do that, but you got to recognize it. If you don't recognize it, then you're going to go 2 years in the hole on more debt. Now it's just business debt. And then it's going to affect your credit score. And then your credit score is going to affect your personal life. And it's just this negative ripple effect. And then you see people on the internet blaming chiropractic for failing them. And frankly, I can't disagree with it because no one told them not to do it that way, right? And so here I am telling you not to do it that way. Don't do it that way. Just follow what other businesses learn from other businesses and other areas out there. They might not be perfect or what we're looking to do or for, but they can definitely teach us a lot from a candidate and an employer side of things.
Yeah, definitely. I think, I mean, I like to play kind of the Bill Maher card. You know, he likes to rip on both sides and I like to rip on both sides. So like, I think that there's definitely a problem in the associate world, meaning the doc hiring associates. And, you know, I hear these stories all the time. I talk to a lot of students and they tell me these horror stories. And I think that part of that's the reason, right? These horror stories get repeated. So definitely on the employer side, let me tell you something. If you are a busy office and you bring on an associate and you're like, go get your own patients, and you're not willing to give them patients, you don't deserve an associate. If your associate is not saying equal the amount of new patients, I think more, but equal, at least equal. Nothing crushes an associate when they're sitting there twiddling their thumbs and you just told them you broke some record and they can't pay their rent. That's nuts. That's what happens, right? And it's just like, what the hell's your problem? Like, why would you do that? I always go negative, not negative, but like I always, my new patients drop significantly when I get a new associate, which is fine, right? Because I'm like, well, one, it's a kind of hybrid associate IC position where they're paid on percentage. And so it behooves me to get them as busy as possible, as soon as possible. So therefore I don't take new patients unless it's a direct, like I'm going to see Dr. Bremner. If it's not, that goes to my associate. And if you're not willing to do that, then just don't have an associate because that's ridiculous. And then on the other side, the students that come in, that's just like, oh, well, let me tell you, I ran this club and I took this seminar. And I'm like, dude, I don't care. Like, that does not matter. Like, maybe you were cool and you were like Mr. Big Time at school. But when you come out of school, like, you got to humble yourself. Because if you are coming in all cocky, I heard this story, this one, one of my friend's friend, she took this job. Couldn't take feedback from the doc because the doc was like, my patients like to be adjusted like this. And maybe he was a jerk about it. Like, I don't know. But like, she was like, well, I don't think you understand. This is 2 weeks into practice. I don't think you understand like how much I've learned. And she got fired in 2 weeks because the doc was like, see ya, let's get someone else. So yes, to your point, you are worth, like they associates are worth a lot because, and you should be treated that way, but you got to come out humble and teachable. And I kind of say this a lot. I'm not looking for Michael Jordan. I'm looking for Scottie Pippen. I want someone who's going to support the office and, you know, do well. But I'm not looking for someone who thinks that they're just this crazy superstar that gets special treatment because you don't know what you're doing. I don't care if you are the number one person in school in adjusting. Doesn't matter. So I think that there's both sides, but I do agree with you. There's a big problem with when docs hire, they're not ready, or they think, oh, it's hard, so it's going to be hard for you, which is ridiculous. That you're basically just a frat boy hazing, you know, these new recruits, which is ridiculous. Like, it should be, it's going to be hard, but I'm here to help you so that it's not as hard for you as it was for me.
Yep.
100%. So, I mean, I'm sure that you hear stories like that too from
all the time. New all grads. The time. Yep.
Well, so I'm sure, like, right now, like, people listening, like, if they're about to, let's say they're 6 months out, what should they be doing?
Yeah. Passing boards. So I say that with, like, a laugh afterwards, because I, again, to go back to, like, our class, like, you saw a lot of people graduate that hadn't passed boards yet. And it's the one thing you need to do, right? So, like, even though chiropractic school has this monopoly on the professional degree that you need in order to do the thing that's certified by the state to see the people, right? You still, there's a monopoly within the monopoly of boards, and boards is going to hold you accountable because boards is all that matters for the state level, right? So if you look at those two pathways and you kind of draw them out on a piece of paper, to describe this to you, you have, you know, essentially schools in one lane, and then you have the NBCE in the other lane, right? And then you have to go through both of those lanes in order to get to where you need to go, right? And so far too often we see people like and you see people on the road like this all the time, right? Who, like, are always left lane drivers, but they're super slow drivers, right? Like, this is the metaphor I'm using. Like, you're a left lane driver and you're just staying there, right? And you're just in this lane riding it out. And once you maybe, like, go over to the right for a little bit because someone behind you is, like, really mad, right? So that's you, like, passing part one, just, like, whenever you wanted to, or for taking it, like, the fourth or sixth time or whatever, right? So, like, the idea, and then you bump back to the left and you're like, I'm in school, this is cool, we're having fun, right? And the idea there is, like, no, there's an exit coming, right? Like, when you're 6 months out, you are exiting this road. You need to be in that right lane, and you see the merge to get over into the exit lane, right? And you have to strategize on what comes next. How are you going to exit from chiropractic school and national boards and get the license, the chiropractic license, and do the thing you were intending to do in the first place? And if that never happens, if you never get out of that left lane, you never get out of that left lane, and you can never be a chiropractor, and you can never say you were a chiropractor, right? So please, for the love of both of us on this podcast right now, and anyone listening, merge, just get over to the right side, take your boards, pass your boards the first time going through, do the hard work up front, because it only gets easier and easier from there from a chiropractic perspective, harder from a business perspective, right? But get to the freaking exit lane, take the merge, take the exit, and run with it, right? And go pull up to the stoplight at the end, or the stop sign at the end, or the yield sign at the end, and sit there and take a deep breath and be proud of your accomplishment, but then get to freaking work, right? But you're going to have, what we're going to do is turn that stoplight into a yield sign. And that yield sign is what I call your exit strategy, right? Meaning that when you go to the exit and you get to that yield sign, you know exactly what comes next. You know exactly where you're going. You know if you're taking a left or you're taking a right or you're going straight, right? But the last thing you want to do is sit at that stoplight and make it a stoplight for yourself and look at the $250,000 worth of debt collecting behind you. And it's like this tsunami about to come tackle you because you have a 6 month grace period after you graduate before you have to pay off your loans or before you have to start paying back your loans. And so you don't want to sit on that too long, right? You could go on a vacation, celebrate your success, whatever you want to do, but, like, for good grief, like, go figure that stuff out before you get in that exit lane, before you merge. But you're seeing that sign in front of you. And the ways that you do this is you figure out if you're an associate, you figure out if you're a business owner, or you figure out what comes next out of those two things. If you didn't like those two things, if you're not an associate and you're not a business owner, I would question why you chose to be in chiropractic. But at the same time, in the same breath, there are some people like that. So if that's you, it's okay. But now figure out how are you going to take care of all those student loans you just took on and figure out what you're going to do next, even when you're 6 months out. And I would even say planning, you know, start planning halfway through chiropractic school, start discovering this stuff, you know, earlier on, the earlier you can, but things change, but like the earlier you can be ready to go post-graduation, the better you're going to be. Right. And so I would say definitely have your ducks in a row, discover who you are. Are you a business owner? Or are you going to be an associate chiropractor? And if one of those things resonates heavily with you, chase it with all your heart. Chase it with all your heart. But if you feel like you're being a square peg pushed into a round hole, run the opposite direction, right? Just because Jim, Joe, John, and Billy all go and open their own practices doesn't mean, you know, Samantha has to, right? Like, do your own thing on your own timeline and on your own schedule, but pass classes, pass boards, get into the exit lane, hit the yield sign, and know exactly what you're doing next. And that's what I would do moving forward. I hope that was maybe helpful. I don't know.
It was good, man. I think that, like, to your point, to add to it is like you should be thinking about this well before you don't want to just graduate and be like, oh, I guess I should get a job. And because the thing about it is because you knew so many people, that's why it was easy for you to find an associate position. You know, if you're not connected within chiropractic and you don't shadow offices and you don't go to seminars, then you're gonna have a tough time. You have to know people, and that's how you're gonna find. Like, I just had a kid reach out to me from Life East, and he's looking for an associate position in Colorado. I was like, look, I just hired a new associate. I have a preceptor coming on from my office. Not a great time, but I said, hey, I'll reach out to a couple docs, see if they're looking for an associate. So sometimes it's like you never know who you're gonna reach out to, and it's gonna make that connection for you. But man, you better start doing that. Like you said, I agree. Halfway through chiropractic school is a good time to start thinking about it, talking about it. Shadow offices, you're going to see a bunch of stuff that you don't want to do, and some stuff that you want to do, and hopefully that you just kind of figure that out. And yeah, you need to know who you are and what makes you happy. If you don't know that, and you just take someone else's dream or whatever someone says on stage, and you try to say, oh, I want that because that sounds good, man, you're going to be miserable, because you might be successful in the sense that you make some money. But if you're like unhappy in either, let's say, where you live or the technique that's doing or the patients that you're seeing, whatever is not making you happy, then you're going to get, that's where the high burnout rate comes in. So to your point, yeah, 2 years people fail. And then 5 years, that's where some fail, but some just burn out where they just cannot do it anymore.
Yep.
It's no good. Well, we're getting kind of close on time. And I always end this with, tell me so far in your 2 years out of school, what do you think has been your absolute best business decision that you've made, and what's been your worst?
Best business decision that I have made would be investing in what, I'll say it simply, investing in growth. And to keep that vague, I think is important, but to kind of solidify it for you listeners is like, if you feel as if you're stuck or you're not growing or you're not, you know, doing the numbers you want to be doing, throw some money at it and you'll be amazed at what happens. If you feel stuck personally outside of chiropractic, in your relationship, in your family, right? Investing in personal growth is also very important. Now, don't mix those up. I want that to be very clear. Don't just go buy your partner like really nice stuff. That's not what I'm saying, because that might not fix what you're talking about. And I'm not a relationship expert, but like, I want that to be clear, right? Like, in business, if you are not seeing the results that you wish to see, something needs to change. Don't keep doing this. Don't keep doing the definition of insanity, right? Don't keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result, because it's never going to come. It's never going to happen until you change things. Either dramatically or subtly, nothing will change. And most of the time in business, if you put a little bit of money into it and a little bit of time into it, you're going to see a huge reward from that. You will. You absolutely will. And if you don't, be able to pivot really quickly. Okay. That would be my number one, like, success answer, I guess, is like just investing in growth and being able to kind of recognize growth. But that goes with like getting really good on business acumen and literacy. Because if you don't know the business stuff and you don't know to see growth patterns, or you don't know to see like when the business is kind of what I call squatting, right? They're not your best months, but they're not your worst months, right? And that, in my opinion, those squatting months, that's the time that the universe is telling you, like, strategize, 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 write stuff out, map out your future 6 months, map out your future 12 months, right? And that's when you get that strategy down on paper. You can look at it and be like, boom, boom, boom. That's what I'm investing in. This is how we're going to do it. Team meeting. Here's what we're doing. Here's the game plan. Here's how we're going to grow. And here, everyone's on board with it, right? And that's how you, that's kind of my successful business tip, if you will. Worst business decision I ever made, hypothetically, would have been not to associate. Just to tie the bow on top of this gift here of this podcast. But realistically, I've been very fortunate in my business journey because I was smart early on. And I'm not saying I'm going to be perfect moving forward, because I haven't been perfect in the past. But once you start to learn business, once you start to learn how things grow, expand, contract, you know, squat, if you will, you start to notice trends and you start to pick up on those things and you learn things, right? But I learn something every day that's new to me, right? No matter if it's a different insurance policy that I've never seen in my life, or if it's, you know, maybe, you know, something new in business that's like, wow, I didn't even think about that. That could 1x, 2x, 3x this place, right? But worst business decision I ever made was probably not pivoting fast enough, not changing what needed to be changed and recognizing that it needed to be changed, not doing it fast enough, right?
Yeah, fine line
and
between
watching it over and over and over and being like, something's got to give, but ain't nothing gonna give if you don't give it anything, right? Like, there is no change without change. So take that for what it's worth. I hope that was helpful, but you live, you learn.
Yeah, well, there's a difference between like letting things develop and work, because things take time, and just hitting your head against the wall when it's not working. And I think the longer your business, the faster you're able to recognize that, like, hey, man, this is just something that's not working. Let's cut our losses and put that money into something else. But you always learn something. And a lot of times I found that usually you just break even. You usually don't like lose a ton of money. It's just like, that just didn't really work out, kind of broke even. So then therefore you just put in something else. So yeah, that's a really important thing. Well, I've been appreciating this conversation, especially with all the push towards associateship. So thank you so much for being on today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Happy to be here.
Yeah. Before we take off, a couple things that you do. So you do the Chiropair, which is like a matchmaking service, sort of.
Yep. So I do a couple things, but again, like, this podcast is not to sell myself, but you can look up Chiropair. You can look up Chiropractic Startup School. You can look up Legendary Chiropractor. You can look up any of those things and you'll probably find me or my name attached to it. If you have any questions, just reach out to me. I'm happy to help you. If you are looking for an associate, please reach out. I'm more than happy to help you. We've actually ramped back up as things have settled down on my end. We've actually ramped back up our done for you service and recruiting. So now we're doing, you know, specific headhunting and matchmaking for chiropractors again. So if you rather be on an app and searching through candidates, that does exist. We did create that. But if you'd rather have someone else just do it for you and source, screen, and place candidates, we're your people. So reach out to me. I'm happy to help.
Yeah, we'll put your email below in the description here. So I know that you're very responsive. I reached out to you a couple of times. You get right back to me. I appreciate that. Thanks, Doc. That's all we have for today. Thank you, guys, and we'll see you later.
Thanks, Doc.